Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading just read from Luke chapter 2, and this is a continuation of the Christmas gospel. It's a very unique and interesting passage. It's the only one like it in the whole Bible, in all the gospels. We get to see a scene where Jesus is a child. We get to learn a little bit more about our Lord through the things that happened when Jesus was in the temple and he's sharing questions and answers with the teachers of the law there. We see Jesus with just a glimpse of his divinity, and it makes sense for us to focus on a passage like this today on the eve of the Epiphany season, that we're about to enter into a season where we have the fullness of Jesus' divinity revealed to us, and today we get just a touch, just a glimpse of that divine glory. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, thank goodness for light-up shoes. Reading today's gospel story about Jesus in the temple reminded me of an incident that took place in the parsonage just over about a year ago. Thankfully, because of a pair of light-up shoes, became not so big of a deal. See, the circuit pastors in this area decided one Sunday evening that we wanted to get together with our families. And so Katie and I decided that we would volunteer to host this get-together at our house. And it was a really lovely evening. The weather was good. I threw some food on the grill, and we had some lawn games outside, and we just ate outside and had a wonderful time. And then as the evening progressed, the sun starts to go down, and so we started to lose some of our daylight. And you would think, like in a normal gathering, that that would be the signal that it's maybe time to pack up and go somewhere else, or at least go inside the house. But you know how pastors can be. It's a lot of talking and talking and talking and talking. And so we keep talking, and the sun goes all the way down, and now it's completely dark outside, and we're all still standing out in the backyard. Now, somewhere along the line, Katie and I completely lost track of where Zach ended up. He was about a year and a half old at the time, and you know, we were trying to be good hosts, and we were trying to get everybody what they needed, and we were involved in millions of conversations because of all the talking. And I guess it was just one of those situations where she thought I had him and I thought she had him, and we both didn't have him. So we didn't really know where Zach ended up. And somewhere along the line, we realized that neither one of us knew where our son was. And so that's when the panic sets in, right? We're looking around in the dark, and we can't find Zach. And you start wondering, you know, did he run away? Did he run around to the front? Did he run out into the street? Is he halfway to Kretzer's by now? I mean, the things that pop into your head in a frantic moment like that, it's absolutely amazing. But then someone notices a little red flickering light in the grass. And so the day was saved, Zach was found, and again, thank goodness for light-up shoes. In the gospel reading today, we saw that Mary and Joseph had a similar problem that came up with Jesus. Jesus was a lot older than a year and a half. He was about 12 years old. But this was a problem that obviously light-up shoes wouldn't be able to fix because light-up shoes weren't invented yet. But they were heading to Nazareth from Jerusalem. They had been in Jerusalem for a couple days. They were celebrating the Passover. Imagine the panic that came over Mary and Joseph when they realized that they hadn't seen Jesus in not just a minute or two, but it had been a whole day. And they had no idea where he was. They didn't even realize that he was missing until they were already halfway home to Nazareth. This is like the McAllister family in the Home Alone movies. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? The Home Alone movies. Some of you probably rewatched them over the Christmas season. And if you didn't, today is still the 12th day of Christmas. So you still have time to watch it when you get home today. But the Home Alone movies. Kevin McAllister is the little boy played by Macaulay Culkin, and he's left home alone, when his parents just take off and they go to Paris without him, and they don't even realize that he's gone until they are already on the plane. And so Kevin is left home alone to fend for himself against the wet bandits, Harry and Marv, who had planned to rob the house while the family was out of town. You watch a movie like that and you think, this isn't even realistic. How could this ever have happened? How could a family just take off and leave their son at home and not even notice? But then you read this gospel from Luke 2, you think about Mary and Joseph and how they left the Son of God behind. So I guess anything's possible, right? Now, the interesting thing is what happens when they finally find Jesus in the temple. So they searched and searched for 3 whole days, frantically searching for the Son of God, and they find him there. There he is, pre-adolescent tween, 12-year-old Jesus, and he is engaged in this really intense religious discussion with the Jewish religious leaders there. Now, Luke tells us that this was Mary and Joseph's custom, that they would go to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. But it would be a reasonable assumption, the Bible doesn't tell us this specifically, but it would be a reasonable assumption that this was probably the first time that they ever actually brought Jesus along with them. See, being 12 years old, Jesus has now attained the age of what we would call a son of the covenant, which is literally in Hebrew what bar mitzvah means. Except they didn't really have the same bar mitzvah ritual that we're used to today back then. But it was the same kind of idea that once you hit a certain age, now you can participate. Now you can get involved. Now you can kind of learn firsthand all of these different Jewish customs and traditions. So this was probably the first time that they actually brought him along. And also, by the way, just to be fair to Mary and Joseph, it was also customary for a child at this age to, you know, travel with friends and with other family members and relatives and not necessarily be right by his parents' side. And so we can give Mary and Joseph a little bit of a pass. It's not just bad parenting that they didn't have Jesus with them for a whole day. But anyway, they find Jesus there in the temple. And Mary, it says they're astonished, right? Mary and Joseph are astonished. And you would assume that there's a whole lot of relief involved in that astonishment. But Mary does the mom thing. She doesn't really let herself be relieved for too long before, right away in verse 48, she's ready to scold her son. She says, "Why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." To which Jesus answers, "Well, didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" And let me tell you, if it was me, if I was 12 years old and I said something like that to my mom after a particularly stressful situation, I think I'd be in a little bit of trouble. I think I probably would have been grounded at least a week or two. But I'm not the Messiah, right? And truthfully, Jesus is not being rude to his mom here. In fact, what he's really doing is he's simply reminding her of who he is. I love the fact that Luke records this. These are the very first words that we ever hear recorded of Jesus in his earthly life at 12 years old. These are the first things we ever hear Jesus say. And what Jesus says makes it very clear that he is the Son of God. Mary and Joseph, from their perspective, they think, we are Jesus' mom and dad. Nazareth is our home. But Jesus makes it pretty clear. My Father is in heaven. And his house, this temple, his home is my home. So in the temple, Jesus is home. He's not home alone. But he, as the Son of God in that place, is the only one who is truly home. He alone is home. Verse 51, at the end here, is also pretty important in terms of how this whole thing now relates to you and to me. Verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." Even though Jesus would have been well within his rights to stay in Jerusalem, to stay at the temple, to continue to question and answer and really essentially teach the teachers of the law, he could have done all of that, and yet he willingly submits to his earthly parents' authority, and he willingly goes to his earthly home of Nazareth. Jesus, in this moment, models for us exactly what Martin Luther was trying to explain in his catechism under the fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. It can be really tempting at times for us to forget that honoring and obeying authority is actually one of the greatest ways that we can show the love of Christ to our neighbor. We are in a brand new year. It's the year 2020. And when you're in the beginning of the year, one of the things that you get to do is you get to make sure that you have paid your taxes for the last year. Right? And so this is one of the ways that we can honor and obey authority. It's also an election year, so we get a whole year where we get to reflect on the blessings and challenges of government on every level, right? Now, it helps that when you're talking about governmental authority, that there are laws in place that you pretty much have to comply with or else. But what about when honoring and obeying authority is more of a, I don't know, maybe an optional thing? Like, what about situations where you have aging parents, an aging mother or father, and they need help? They need help with their health care. Maybe they're just lonely. They need somebody to sit with them. Sometimes it's easy for us to justify why we might not fulfill a request like that. Oh, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money, you know, whatever it is. But we have this beautiful example of God in the flesh willingly submitting to his earthly parents' authority. And what that does is it shows us that this is something God cares about. This is something that the Lord calls good. And we know, of course, that this is not the last time here in Luke chapter 2. It's not the last time we're going to see Jesus willingly obeying earthly authority. It's not the last time we're going to see him obedient. It's not the last time he's going to do something that he didn't have to do or that he wasn't being forced to do. Jesus' whole ministry was one of personal sacrifice for you and for me. And ultimately, what he did was he submitted to his heavenly Father's authority, and he suffered on our behalf. This text right here is a foreshadowing of the final time that Jesus would enter into Jerusalem as a grown man, obeying his Father's authority and saying, "Not my will, but thine be done," allowing himself to be crucified for our sake. All of our own personal disobedience, the lack of love that we have for our neighbors, whether that be mother, father, or other earthly authorities, all of those things that we do and don't do, it's forgiven. It's forgiven because Christ was willing to do it. Christ was willing to go where we couldn't go or we were unwilling to go. Jesus Christ was willing to do what we couldn't do. And you know, the panic, the feeling of panic that we feel if we actually sit and reflect upon the consequences that we deserve because of our sin, that panic can be worse than a parent who all of a sudden can't find their kid in the dark, worse than a family that takes off and goes to France without their kid. And yet, in contrast to that feeling of panic, there's this overwhelming relief that comes when all of a sudden the light becomes visible and everybody is reunited at home, safe and sound. So thank goodness for light up shoes, but thank God for the light of Christ, which has actually shown us the way to that eternal home. Thank God for his willingness to be the perfect heavenly parent, one who would never forget about us and leave without us right by his side, one who will never mistreat us, one that will never make us feel like we are unwelcome, one who would never force us to have to fight on our own against burglars, against the wet bandits, against the old guy with the shovel. These are Home Alone references. You'll get it if you watch it later, right? Our Heavenly Father, who by the power of his Holy Spirit has given us faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that his home becomes our home too. Ultimately, you and I will never be home alone, but in Christ alone, we will be home forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.